Coach Chip has left. DeJounte Murray has some things to say about the Spurs. Is the Spurs ship sinking?
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's Five San Antonio. Glad to have you back. TGIF. Hope everybody's having a great end of the work week as we head you into the weekend right here on Locked On Spurs. And thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get podcasts. What are we talking about today? Well, we recently saw the report that Chip Englund, Spurs' longtime assistant coach, is leaving the ship. He's heading out to OKC to join that squad. But we've been noticing a bit of a pattern here. You know, Becky, she leaves for a job in Vegas. Okay, fine. Maybe it was just a stepping stone for her coaching career. We heard what DeJounte Murray had to say. Things are bigger than basketball in San Antonio after he left. Is the Spurs ship sinking? And also, we're going to be discussing Popovich as well as a versus segment with our guest, you know, David Robinson versus Michael Jordan. What? You know, this guy does not need an introduction. You know, you can just say his name and all of San Antonio knows him. Michael Jimenez. Yes, the one, the only. Michael Jimenez is back. He is with San Antonio Sports Star, host of Halftime. Jimenez, welcome to Locked On Spurs, man. I am honored by your presence here.
Yeah, I didn't big time you today, man. What's going on, my man?
Yeah. You know, I big timed Mike Light because we were supposed to do this a couple days ago, but then something came up. And I had to change it on you. But glad you're here. By the way, no pressure though. You're on the last Los of the full season of Los. You know, we're having a series finale light. Yes, everybody. Locked On Spurs starting next week until training camp. We'll be going down to maybe three if there's something to talk about. So Locked On Spurs will be kind of light in the next few months. But so no pressure, Jimenez.
You know, you saved the best for last, you know, but hope you get some time off, man. Because you've been doing Spurs coverage 24/7, 365 for quite some time, man.
Your colleague at the Star, Pledger, he jumped on the show about England leaving. But prior to that, I had sent them the rundown. And all I get is these texts. He's just laughing at me like, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, what's so funny? He goes, you have nothing to talk about because we talked about all this before. I was like, is it that bad? He's like, yeah, it's that bad. But then the England news hit and here we are. By the way, I want to get your thoughts on something. Know what I hadn't done in a long time and I did it right before we hit record? Ramen noodles, like the old school college out of the little plastic bag, the square brick and a boiling hot water. I hadn't had that in a long time, and I enjoyed it, Mike.
Now, which one did you have? The chicken, the creamy chicken, the shrimp, or the beef?
At the chicken. At two packs.
Wow. No, I do the creamy chicken ramen. I don't do ramen a lot. I might do it once a month or so. But every once in a while, I get that craving. And don't get me wrong, we can go to like these places that serve really fancy ramen. But sometimes you crave the Taco Bell version of it all, which is the 20-cent cube you get at HEB.
I ate that thing like there was no tomorrow. I said, wow, it's been that long since I had some ramen in me. But hey, you're not here to listen to what I had to eat or Taco Bell cubes. I've never heard that before, Jimenez. But we're here to talk about your silver and black. And yeah, as mentioned, we saw Coach Englund leave for the OKC Thunder. We've seen coaches leave. A big chunk of the brain trust, Will Hardy and, you know, Ime. We're seeing Brett Brown back. And you know, is this it for Pop? And, you know, the Spurs projected to be not the, but maybe the, you know, worst team in the NBA next season. But I got to, you know, that's why you're here, Jimenez, because we got to talk to you about this. Overall, is this Spurs team right now just a sinking ship right now?
Most definitely it is. I know there are a lot of optimistic Spurs fans out there who think that the team is going to win 30-plus games next year and compete for the play-in tournament. Not going to happen. I mean, Vegas has the over-under at 23 wins, 23 and a half. My personal over-under is 19. I think the Spurs are going to finish 63 next year.
And
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I take a look at the Spurs roster. I see two glaring holes. Who do we have as a starting point guard, and who do we have as a starting power forward? We don't have an answer. There is no answer. You know, I mean,
as of now,
it's not like they're going to pick up anybody in free agency or trade for anybody between now and the beginning of the season. So, I mean, is it going to be Primo or Trey Jones at point guard? Is it going to be McDermott
or Blake Wesley?
It going to be like Wesley? Yeah. I mean, Trey Jones is a non-guaranteed contract. So, you know, I take a look at that four spot, and are we going to play Keldon out of position again? You know, what are we doing here? And all signs point to this is a tank season. I mean, that's just what it looks like. And I think the depressing part of it all, because I wanted the Spurs to tank last season, so that they could get a Paolo Banchero or Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren. I wanted them to do what I like to call a V-shape, you know, tank. You dip down for one season and you just jump right back up, right? They say that about the economy. V-shape versus U-shape. And it looks like we're going to go into a U-shape, which means that we're going to be really bad for years to come, probably at least three more seasons. And, you know, when you go on that 20-year run with Tim, Tony, and Manu and the Tim Duncan years and then have six or seven losing seasons in a row, it's going to be painful. Yeah, and I think the part of me that really is upset is I think that the tank has gone too deep in what they're doing, and the brain trust is no longer there. I mean, you mentioned Chip Anglin leaving. I was thinking to myself, you know, at least we got Chip, right? I mean, at least we have somebody who can teach our guys to shoot the ball. You know, this is somebody who helps Kawhi Leonard develop a game, and Tony Parker and Danny Green, and you know, he's just somebody who's known as the basketball shooting guru. And now he's off the team. And I'm thinking, you know, how is that going to impact a Jeremy Sochan in the future? How is that going to impact a Malachi Branham or Josh Primo in the future, negatively impact them? And then, like, I'm taking a look at the bench, and when I'm saying the bench, I'm not talking about players 6 through 12. I'm talking about the bench behind Coach Popovich. You know, if and when he one day retires, who's he going to leave us behind with? Because there's just nobody there. I mean, we see Ime Udoka, you know, play, you know, coach with Boston, and Budenholzer with Milwaukee, and Monty Williams with Phoenix, and Steve Kerr and Taylor Jenkins and Doc Rivers and Will Hardy and Mike Brown, and you know, it's just like, who's left? Becky Hammond's not there anymore. So I think the depressing part is that it's going to be a more prolonged rebuild. Going to take a lot longer than what Spurs fans were probably prepared for. But beyond that, it's just like, what's the solution behind Pop? Because we have to actually turn the page on that chapter. I mean, Popovich is the oldest coach in the NBA. He's going to be 74 years old during this season. That being said, you know, he is 55 years older than three of his players. 55 years older. And what we're seeing right now is we're seeing a lot of coaches be good big brother type coaches. You know, Ime Udoka did that in Boston this past season. It was very successful. Monty Williams in Phoenix. And it's just, I just think that, yeah, we can celebrate Pop for his five titles. We can consider him the GOAT because he is in that discussion. But man, if we're going to do a full rebuild, let's do a full rebuild. And that means from the bottom down.
Yeah, he is the final piece, I believe, in this complete rebuild, because you have practically, Mike, it's a college team going out on the court next season. It's practically what it is. It's a bunch of guys that still should be in college. And I know everybody does the one and done, but if they do the traditional route, some of these should be sophomores and juniors and seniors before made it to the pros. So, yeah, it's going to be some lean times next year, but you've been railing against Pop a lot lately, whether on halftime or whether it's on the Blitz when you co-host there. But you know what? You know, I want to get your thoughts on Popovich. Why do you think he seems to be some sort of barrier right now to the Spurs, maybe getting out of a U-shape as you say, a rebuild. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews, news of every league, MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. Yes, they have golf at BetOnline.net. And it continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They got you covered. So head to BetOnline right now. Use that mobile device. Get on your computer. Get on your laptop. Get on your cell phone. Go learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back with Michael Jimenez. He is with San Antonio Sports Star. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. And we're talking about your silver and black. And is this ship sinking as we speak? You, Michael, you've been very, you know, saying your piece about Popovich. And ultimately, I don't think you mean disrespect. I think what you're trying to just aim at is just this team probably needs a change of the guard now than later at the head coaching spot.
Exactly. What's the point of developing talent or drafting talent or trading for talent and have Pop leave midway through it all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things about it is, you know, we saw this with DeJounte Murray being traded and him kind of opening up after he left San Antonio. And there's certain things that he said very cryptically, like, you're the only one to Ime Udoka on that Instagram post. You're the only one who believed in me. You know, stuff like that. And I just wonder if Pop gets through to the newer generation of players. He doesn't get through to them the same way that he did with Tim, Tony, and Manu. I mean, they were closer in age at the time. I mean, think about it this way. We talk about how Popovich is going to be 74 years old and he's been with this team for so long. You know, he was in his 40s when he first joined this team. You know, he was in his early 50s when he was developing Tim Duncan. And it was easier for him to kind of communicate with that guy, with Tim Duncan, who's our greatest player of all time, simply because, you know, they were easier in age. His big brother, it was Uncle Pop type of thing.
Right.
And a 55-year difference, and all the things that the Spurs are not allowed to do, not allowed to have a personality, not allowed to have podcasts or speak to the media in a certain way. It's so claustrophobic what they do over there. So not only, think about it this way, not only are we a city that is not attractive to these young players who might be free agents, we're also going to say, but and if you do by some chance come to San Antonio, we're going to muzzle you the second that you get into town. Why would anybody want to play for that? You know, they have these surveys where they ask players, who's the coach that you would want to play for? And, like, Pop is always top of the list. Mm-hmm. I always think that's crap. Because, you know, they may want to get tutored by Pop for a week or two, but they don't want to go through what it means to go through his system as far as personal, right, on court. You know, yep. And all of that. I just think that it's too much. It's antiquated. It's old. And it doesn't speak to the younger players. And you're not going to change the younger players because that's who they are. That's the generation that they are. You know, good or bad, that's who they are. You can't change Pop either.
Okay, but look, I got to be a little fair here. You know, Popovich at least has changed the system as the years have gone by, the decades have gone by. From four down to give the ball to Tony Manu run it, to the Twin Towers, to forming around Kawhi, mm-hmm. and then to DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he has been flexible in that approach. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a very good point because it was a different team when it was the Twin Towers in 90, you know, 98, 99 in that time frame, and then when Robinson left and Manu got a bigger part of the offense in the mid-off. I understand that he has been able to kind of evolve along the way. But there's two types of evolution. There's on the court and there's off the court. And it's one of those things where you take a look at Pop at this age, being in his mid-70s, can you make a long-term commitment to this franchise if you don't know if he's going to be there two or three seasons from now.
Well, according to Popovich, he should have been gone by now. He was supposed to leave when Timmy exited.
And he should have. And think about the legacy he's going to have. He's going to go down with three, four, five, six seasons in a row of losing records. I mean, yeah, five-time champ and future Hall of Famer, most wins of all time. I get that. But talk about a stain the second that you walk out of the game. He should have left a long time.
What are your thoughts on Chip Ingham leaving? Because we're talking about the coaching staff here, and if it came down to money, at least according to the report via ESPN, that it just simply came down to a contract issue.
And then ESPN did report that. ESPN
exactly.
It couldn't come to terms.
What are your thoughts on that? Is that more of a signal to you saying, like, this is the sinking ship right now, that they need to, get some putty and plug up the holes? How do you see that?
Well, there's nothing left. I mean, what else is there that the Spurs have that we can hold up, we can hang our hat on to? I mean,
Popovich, he's left, yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that we have left. We don't have an all-star anymore. You know, we don't have I just take a look at it. Chip Ingham leaving, he was one of the highest paid assistant coaches in the NBA. So for them to not come to terms, I get it, because it's kind of like, why would you pay somebody basically what a head coach gets paid, maybe, to on a team that's only going to win 19, 20, 25 games. So I understand that from a business standpoint. It's just from a morale standpoint, from a Spurs fan standpoint, that it just seems kind of, it just sucks, man. It just hearing that is just like, it just understand that we're there's no turning back. We are sinking. There's not. I mean, even if we have breakout seasons from Keldon and breakout seasons from Vassell, and we do magically get 30, 35 wins, and we are in the play-in tournament and all that stuff, guess what? That just prolongs things. That just prolongs the losing season. You know, Houston Rockets GM said it best a while back when he said, the NBA punishes the middle. Either a race to the top or a race to the bottom, and the Spurs are racing to the bottom. And anything to the contrary is actually detrimental to the team. Us going and winning 30 games and getting the 10th spot, which, by the way, a lot of the, scouts and prognosticators when it comes to the draft or whatnot say that this is actually one of the best drafts coming up that we've seen in over a decade. So it's beyond for Wemby. It goes way beyond that.
Yeah, this sinking ship obviously is going to find its footing, its ground, because if they do have a 19 win season, as Michael is predicting, then the odds are high for the Spurs to get a Wemby or even a top three pick. But for the present, it looks bad. Do you think as of right now, this is just a ship without a rudder?
That's the problem that I see. I was very complimentary towards Brian Wright for a lot of the moves that he made this year. Trading Bryn Forbes for picks and Thad Young for a first rounder and Derek White for a first rounder. And I understand the trade for DeJounte, though I disagree what they got for it. I do understand it. But that's where it kind of turned for me, because I was like, okay, we got a first rounder for Thad Young. That turned out to be the number 20 pick, and we got Malachi Branham for it. We got Blake Wesley for Derek White. We're stocking up picks. Trade DeJounte Murray. I thought it was an awful trade. I still think it's an awful trade. We got two first rounders and the potential for a third. We're selling it as three, but it's, two way down the road and one that may not manifest itself. I just think that right now, the brain trust isn't there, man. There were a lot of great minds in there from back in the day with Presti and Hardy and all of those guys that were there. There was just this thing, and when RC Buford, wasn't CEO and he was the GM, there was something different going on. I understand the vision that Brian Wright's trying to do, which is basically accumulate a lot of assets and then kind of build over the course of 4 or 5 years. I mean, I see it, but I just think that, like with the DeJounte deal, They could have waited. The Spurs still had leverage. All of that reeked of, we just cannot be burned the way the Kawhi burned us. That reeked of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is not good times right now in San Antonio. Now, again, the light at the end of the tunnel is, as of right now, you know, a possible number one pick, top three, worst case scenario. Maybe another bright spot is Spurs at the end of next season or before the trade deadline, do some more flipping of these players and asset acquired picks. So, yeah, I mean, sure, right now it looks bad. Optically, you know, Chip Engling leaves because reported contract, DeJounte's comments, the brain drain that's going on in San Antonio late. So, yeah, this is what a rebuild looks like. And the Spurs got to hit rock bottom in a rebuild before they can climb back up. We're not done talking, though. We get back, we're going to wrap up our talk with Michael Jimenez and his final thoughts on this current state of the Spurs. And then fantasy versus Robinson versus Jordan. Who would win? Yeah, we'll be right back. We're back with Michael Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA and check out his show, Halftime, on San Antonio Sports Star. He's going to brag about that in just a few minutes. So any final thoughts on the current state of the Spurs right now? You know, we kind of hit the highlights, you know, England left, Murray's comments, you know, very young team. But this is part of a rebuild, Jimenez. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's part of a rebuild. I'm interested to see what the rookies bring to the table. I mean, I'm sure they're going to spend a lot of time in Austin this year, but seeing what Blake Wesley was able to do in Las Vegas, and he looked good most of the games that he was out there. Malachi brought him. Started off slow over there, but kind of caught his stride towards the end of the summer league. So I'm interested in that. We haven't seen Sohan because he had a health and safety protocol. Because of that, I'm focused on that. This is a very incomplete team. We don't have a power forward. We don't have a point guard. But you know, there are things to cheer for this year. There are things to kind of look at and hang on to. But in a rebuilding year, I guess the three things I would focus on the most are the rookies and what they're doing and their development. Number two is the development of Joshua Primo. There's debate as to whether or not he had a good rookie season or not. I was okay with it. But it's just one of those things where you take a look at it, and I think for it to be ultimately a bust, he that sophomore slump, can he improve?
Right, yeah. The jury's still out on him, in my opinion. Yeah, but we're definitely going to get a good dose of Primo next season and a bunch of the young guys. And I still say this roster is probably going to look still different. I mean, what's the future of McDermott? What's the future of Josh Richardson? Jakob Poeltl, perhaps outside of Keldon, you know, he might be the next best tradable asset for the Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs will make a trade. Oh, by the way, the third thing I'm looking at is if there's going to be a leap made between Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson, who is our alpha?
Yeah.
Who is our alpha on the court?
Well, it better be KJ because he's getting paid like an alpha.
No, he's not. He's the 73rd highest paid player in the NBA. He's
getting the highest paid on the team. So on the team, I'm looking, you're looking at him as the cornerstone for the amount the team paid him. Not a cornerstone, maybe a big, big, big piece of this rebuild.
And Vassell will make more in 2 years anyway. So it's just...
he met us. And then they'll be gone, right? Just like DeJounte?
Yeah, you know, good Lord. Don't tell me that. But, you know, you mentioned trades. That's going to happen, man. You know, that's what the Spurs are doing. You know, Poeltl's an attractive piece. You know, he's only making around $10 million a year, so... You know, that's an attractive piece to take on at the end of the year. Very much like the Spurs got rid of Derek White and Thad Young. They can do the same with Josh Richardson, expiring deal. Doug McDermott, not an expiring deal, but it's a manageable contract. There are playoff teams who would look at those guys and say, we need that guy.
Oh, for sure.
And so the Spurs can roll the dice. We are in Philadelphia 76ers mode from 7-8 years ago. We are in OKC Thunder mode from 3 or 4 years ago.
And the team has one of the best in the business, Brett Brown. So he knows all about trusting the process.
Exactly.
And he's back in San Antonio. Yeah. We want to hear your thoughts on this current state of the Spurs. Do you believe it's a sinking ship right now that's only going to find its feet and rudders later down the road? Or do you think it's going to be, as DeJounte Murray says, 15 years until the Spurs are back to relevancy? Let Mike know on Twitter, at MikeESPNSA, and subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including YouTube. Jimenez, you had some, I guess, fantasy fun with former players and elite players from Robinson and Jordan. And all this stemmed from the ridiculous comment that former guard, Wizards and the Warriors, a pick a team, basically, he was kind of a journeyman, Gilbert Arenas had to say in an interview with FUBU Sports that Manu Ginobili is not a top five sixth man of all time. And that one-on-one, individually, he's not as good as Jamal Crawford. But the point is, that got you going and thinking about versus battles. And you had a couple of battles, didn't you?
Right. And people made fun of me for it, but I stand by it. So Gilbert Arenas, his comment was, well, who would you want one-on-one if Manu Ginobili, you know, went against Jamal Crawford? Crawford would take him, man, because Crawford's a better player. Therefore, Crawford's a better player because he could win one-on-one. And I said, well, that makes absolutely no sense because, first of all, basketball is not played on a one-on-one basis, right? It's five-on-five. It's what you bring to a team. And I made reference to the fact that Michael Jordan is arguably, to many, many people, the greatest player of all time in the NBA. But so I brought up the question on halftime, and it was off the cuff, so I wasn't planning on it. But I brought up the question, okay, if Michael Jordan, if we're going to use the logic that Gilbert Arenas has, engaging players, can Michael Jordan win a tournament of one-on-one basketball back in the day? You know, prime Michael Jordan. And Rudy J and Pledger came up to me, they're like, well, who would have beaten him in his prime? And the first name that came to mind was Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, Hakeem Olajuwon, and I thought about it, I was like, you know what, I bet you David Robinson could have beaten Michael Jordan one-on-one. And it's not so much because they're better players. It's just simply because they're taller players who have offensive games to play defense that can match up and be just as fast as Jordan is offensively, can be just as fast defensively. So I used that. I said, so, you know, the Gilbert Arenas thing, if we were going to have a one-on-one competition, I believe that Hakeem Olajuwon would have beaten Jordan. I believe that David Robinson would have had a good chance of that. And if you were to go to today's players, LeBron James in his prime, Giannis, I think, could have taken Jordan, not because they are better athletes or better this and that, just simply because they're bigger, right? And people were giving me crap about it because Michael Jordan, it's all revisionist history. You know, Jordan.
It's not like Jordan went up against string beans. I mean, he had to deal with Oak, he had to deal with Mahorn. I mean,
they weren't on his position. I did see a YouTube video of Hakeem Olajuwon swatting Jordan four times in a game.
Well, Robinson did the same thing, but to Jordan.
Robinson did do that.
But I mean, you're talking about different positions, though. I know you mentioned it right now, but I mean, Robinson was 7'1". What was Jordan, like 6'7"?
6'6".
6'6"?
He was 6'6" out of North Carolina. Yeah, so... I just take a look at it, and I just thought it was a really bad argument. But I started thinking, like, if there was a one-on-one tournament between all the players in the NBA today, who would win? And I personally think it'd be Giannis. But if you want to do it, well, what about the guards? Guards against guards and wings against wings. And I think it's a fun argument to have where it would be like March Madness of one-on-one ball because it really doesn't matter, man, because –
Jimenez, you're going to get a lot of reaction for this stuff. You know that, right?
What's that?
You're going to get a lot of reaction from what you're saying right now.
Oh, yeah, I know, because there are people who think that Michael Jordan shot 183% from the field. He never missed a shot. You're not aware of that? He never missed a shot, right? I'm sorry, man, but it's funny. Now, if you were to say Michael Jordan would have beaten all the other guards, well, of course he would have. I mean, Craig Elo, Mark Price. You know, John Stark, he would have beaten all of those guys, you know? But I mean,
Clyde Drexler might have something to say about that.
Magic Johnson would have taken out Jordan. A 6'9 Magic Johnson, a guard. I mean, you know, he could do a hook. He can drive in. He can shoot. Yeah. But the thing is that none of that means that Jordan isn't the greatest of all time. You can still say that Jordan's the greatest of all time because it's a team sport. And that's where Gilbert Arenas was an idiot. And well, I was like, Monty Ginobili made all NBA teams. He made all-star teams in the 20 years that Jamal Crawford was in the league, who's a great player, by the way, very good player. Never made an all-NBA team, never made an all-star team. Now, he has more six-man of the year awards, 3-1 over Ginobili. But Manu also had a gold medal. Are you telling me that Jamal Crawford...
Here he goes.
Are you telling me that Jamal Crawford could have taken the 2004 Argentina men's basketball team to beat Team USA that had Duncan and LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade and had Emeka Okafor and Allen Iverson and Steph Marbury? You're telling me that Jamal Crawford could have taken those four other guys who eventually made the NBA to a gold medal? Crap. Full crap. Manu Ginobili is the best six man of all time. He is.
There you go. There you go. See, I want to end it right there, Jimenez, because I want you to that be your final remark. I don't want you to get too much tomatoes thrown at you when they hear a lot of your comments right now regarding Jordan and Dave, D-Rob and Dream. And, those were the good days, weren't they? There were some really good days in the 90s. Really, really good days. I miss those days. But, Jimenez, we are done talking. Time for Los to get on a little bit of a mini vacation.
End of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just so rough right now. I mean, I pulled two lockdown Spurs in a row about the new jerseys, the SATX jerseys. That's how light it was. So, but knowing my luck, watch next week, something big's gonna happen. I'm like, great. You know, one time I didn't have the bug. He managed to come on Los or Pleasure or whoever else is on the rotation.
I'm waiting for Spurs to throw a pool party in San Antonio. Waiting for that to happen. We don't have pools in San Antonio?
Yeah.
You have to go to Austin for that?
No. There's plenty of pools in San Antonio, but yeah. In case you didn't know, Lockdown Spurs is good. Yeah. Lockdown, what's that? Was that he meant as you do a parting gift?
I'm so frustrated right now about the whole Austin thing. I'll never get like over it. We're in a thruple with that city, and I don't like it.
I never thought I would hear the word thruple on Lockdown Spurs, but here we are talking about thruples on Lockdown Spurs. We are done talking. We want to hear from you. As mentioned a little while ago, and repeat it again, Lockdown Spurs is going to go in a little bit of a down period-ish starting next week. I'm going to try for three. Maybe you get two. It's just there's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. So hopefully there will be something to talk about so you can continue getting Locked On Spurs. But make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, YouTube page, the Ken's 5 Plus app, Ken's 5 YouTube page, Spotify, iTunes, Apple. I mean, pick a platform. Locked On Spurs is there. We thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NBA, 30 minutes of NBA news in just one podcast. Now, Jimenez is going to brag about the San Antonio Star, halftime, and much more. What's going on over there?
Oh, hey, we're heading to Cowboy Camp. So,
woohoo! How about them Cowboys?
Monday through Friday, man. You know, Spurs fans are turning into Cowboy fans because we're living in the past. But anyway, Cowboy Camp is getting going in Oxnard, California. R&R in the Morning will be there Monday through Friday. We'll also have the Blitz there as well. I'm manning the station back home. So it's going to be an exciting time. So halftime is from 12 to 2, Monday through Friday. Sports, pop culture, a lot of nostalgic things as well. It's not Hot Take City. Okay, sometimes it is. But, you know, it's funny because people think that I like... People give me much more credit than what I deserve. They think that I sit here and think about my hot takes. No, this is all off the cuff more often than not. But it's a fun show, and Pleasure is a big part of it as well. And I have a fun time doing it. And I cannot believe it's coming up on 1 year doing halftime on the Sports Star.
Congratulations, Jimenez. Congratulations. Yeah, you really turned...
Coming up soon.
Well, an early congratulations then, because you really turned that ship around there, you know, from the, what's the tagline? sports, nostalgia, that's it. Yeah, and everybody loves tuning in to hear about your movie reviews. Everybody loves, quote unquote, your movies reviews, as well as the latest in sports world. So yeah, check out Halftime. I love it. I go on there frequently. I love it when Jimenez brings me on. And yeah, so for Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.